With God's help, I desire that we would read together from the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter number 25. 2 Chronicles 25. I'd like to read the entire chapter with God's help. Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Now it came to pass, when the kingdom was established to him, that he slew his servants that had killed the king his father. But he slew not their children, but did as it was written in the law, in the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, "The father shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin." Moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together and made them captains over thousands and captains over hundreds, according to the houses of their fathers, throughout all Judah and Benjamin. And he numbered them from 20 years old and above, and found them 300,000 choice men, able to go forth to war, that could handle spear and shield. And he hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. But there came a man of God to him, saying, "O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt go, do it, be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy, for God hath power to help and to cast down." And Amaziah said to the man of God, "But what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel?" And the man of God answered, "The Lord is able to give thee much more than this." Then Amaziah separated them, to wit, the army that was come to him out of Ephraim, to go home again. Wherefore their anger was greatly kindled against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. And Amaziah strengthened himself, and led forth his people, and went to the valley of Salt, and smote of the children of Seir 10,000. And other 10,000 left alive did the children of Judah carry away captive, and brought them to the top of a rock, and cast them down from the top of the rock, that they were all broken in pieces. But the soldiers of the army which Amaziah sent back, that they should not go with him to battle, fell upon the cities of Judah, from Samaria even unto Beth-horon, and smote 3,000 of them, and took much spoil. Now it came to pass, after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the children of Seir, and set them up to be his gods, and bowed down himself before them, and burned incense unto them. Wherefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah, and he sent unto him a prophet, which said unto him, "Why hast thou sought after the gods of the people, which could not deliver their own people out of thine hand?" And it came to pass, as he talked with him, that the king said unto him, "Art thou made the king's counsel? Forbear. Why shouldest thou be smitten?" Then the prophet forbear and said, "I know that God hath determined to destroy thee, because thou hast done this, and has not hearkened unto my counsel. Then Amaziah, king of Judah, took advice and sent to Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, "Come, let us see one another in the face." And Joash, king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, king of Judah, saying, "The thistle was in Lebanon," sent to the cedar that was in Lebanon, saying, "Give thy daughter to my son to wife." And there passed by a wild beast that was in Lebanon and trode down the thistle. Thou sayest, "Lo, thou hast smitten the Edomites, and thine heart lifteth thee up to boast. Abide now at home. Why shouldest thou meddle to thine hurt, that thou shouldest fall, even thou and Judah with thee?" But Amaziah would not hear, for it came of God that he might deliver them into the hand of their enemies, because they sought after the gods of Edom. So Joash, the king of Israel, went up, and they saw one another in the face, both he and Amaziah, king of Judah, at Beth Shemesh, which belongeth to Judah. And Judah was put to the worse before Israel, and they fled every man to his tent. And Joash, the king of Israel, took Amaziah, king of Judah, the son of Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, at Beth Shemesh, and brought him to Jerusalem, and brake down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim to the corner gate, 400 cubits. And he took all the gold and the silver and all the vessels that were found in the house of God with Obed-Edom, and the treasures of the king's house, the hostages also, and returned to Samaria. And Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, lived after the death of Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, for 15 years. Now the rest of the acts of Amaziah, first and last, behold, are they not written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel? Now after the time that Amaziah did turn away from following the Lord, they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish. But they sent unto Lachish after him and slew him there. And they brought him upon horses and buried him with his fathers in the city of Judah. Read the entire chapter. The Lord bless the reading of his word, and may we all bow before the Lord in prayer. The account of Amaziah may be familiar to some, but might not be the first king that we think about when we think about the stories that we learned in Sunday school. But there is lessons here that we should remember, that we should take with us. And we see a lot of failures and weaknesses in Amaziah, but we see one verse here, verse 9, that really stands out in bold contrast. And that is the love and mercy of God and his abundance when he tells Amaziah through the prophet and the man of God, "The Lord is able to give thee much more than this." Can you imagine the Lord speaking this to you? When you compare all of the things that you were engaged in today or this week, all the things that you pursued, and the Lord could set that before you, and he could say these words, "I can provide more than this." And he would be telling the truth. His ability to provide above all that we can ask or imagine, abundantly more than what our hearts and minds can fathom, he is able to give. And he has proven this. He has given a great gift. The greatest gift that he could give was fulfilled, a fulfillment of this prophecy, this promise that the Lord is able to give thee much more than this, much more than the silver that this king had lost. The Lord has given his own son. our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we think of the things that we value, the things that we cherish, love and appreciate, the things that bring us joy and a smile to our face, we think of Jesus Christ. We think of how he came to earth and was clothed in flesh and became a servant. How he called children to come near his side. How he welcomed sinners and supped with them. He spoke with them and told them about God's word and about God's love. And we know that he has also done this for us. When we hear the word of God, when we come together, even when we're alone perhaps and reading the word, praying to the Lord and fellowshipping with him, he comes and he's with us. He speaks to us and reminds us of his great promises. He reminds us, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. This was a word that Amaziah needed at this time because he was concerned. He had worries. He was preoccupied with the money that he was about to lose. And many have been worried about these things. When Jesus was talking about all the things that would have to be given up in order to be his disciple, Peter said, well, we have left father and mother and houses. What is for us? What is for us? A new family. A new family of God. Where Jesus serves us and we eat at his table. That we can partake of him, of his great sacrifice to fill our soul's great need. Because his blood was shed that we might be saved from our sins and that we might ever look up to him, our living high priest who intercedes for us and who has offered that one-time sacrifice for our sins, that we might be cleansed, that we might be redeemed eternally. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. It's a beautiful memory verse to take with us when we are concerned about things and we don't know where to turn and we need wisdom. The word says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and does not abrade, does not turn away. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For the man who doubts is like a wave of the sea, who's driven about and tossed, and he should not expect to receive anything from God. We need that faith. We need that trust and that love towards God that he is able and that he is willing. You see, there's a promise that's made to Amaziah that the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. And a treasure chest didn't just pop up right in front of him. See, there's the proof. No. Amaziah needed to hear the word and believe it. And believe it to such an extent that he trusted and obeyed. And then he found that God fulfilled. Just like we do today. We need to have that faith. Without that faith, it's impossible to please God. And the Bible says we should not expect to receive anything. So that's something to ponder. That's something to consider. The Lord is, he has abundance. And there's no limit to his capability. except for the door of faith. When Jesus came to his hometown and they did not believe, he did no mighty work there because of the lack of faith. When spirituality seems to be waning, it is due to a lack of faith. And if anyone has any need, we know where to go. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing to remember and to consider. There's so much in this chapter, really, that we can go through and consider and glean. But that was one verse that truly stuck out and was a prayer of mine to share and to make as our focus and to remember. But this promise comes in the midst of Amaziah's life and his experiences. And he was pretty young when he began to reign, only 25 years old. And he reigned for 29 years in Jerusalem. And the first thing that he did after he had the kingdom secured in his hands, and he knew that no one else would compete for the throne, was he killed some servants of his. Because they had conspired against his father. His father was the king, and he had lost some battles, and his servants were disappointed and angry. His father had a priest who was good and warned him not to serve false gods. He had that priest killed. And so his father was also killed. And Amaziah attempts to execute the sort of judgment and the justice that we see in the Old Testament. And he slew those that were guilty. He brought down the judgment. And we see how sad it is. This pattern doesn't stop. This pattern's not solved, because at the end of the chapter we see people conspiring against him. The Word of God teaches us a better way. And the way of Jesus Christ offers us a better way. Jesus says, when you are persecuted and when you are spoken of wrongly, rejoice. That might not stop people from saying the things that they do or hurling their insults, but it does not pass from one to the next. And in that way that we take that, it stops. We do not become a conduit for the vengeance of man and the wrath of man that doesn't work the righteousness of God. Jesus wants us to be that conduit of his Holy Spirit that listens to the word of Jesus Christ, that follows and loves and obeys, and remembers, God is able to give thee much more than this. How much satisfaction, how much conclusion to the animosity was brought out by bringing on this vengeance? None, because it continued. But the Lord teaches us, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. It's not for us to hit back, to get even, or to hurt someone else. Well, there's a place for making correction, no doubt. But to take vengeance belongs in the hand of God. He will take care of us as we entrust ourselves unto him, and he will provide something even better than that temporary strong feeling that comes when vengeance can be taken. He can provide a peace that is passing all of our understanding. Try him. See if that is not true. If there is anyone that has held a grudge or feels hurt, try forgiveness. Ask God to give you something greater than a grudge or those hurt feelings or that anger. He will provide. He will provide something far greater. But the question is, do you believe? Do you truly believe beyond a shadow of a doubt? Will you take him at his word? That was the test for Amaziah. That's the test for us. The battleground is not at Beth Shemesh. The battleground is in our hearts. That's where the spiritual warfare is being waged. That's where all of the examples of the Old Testament are coming to warn us not to lust after evil things, to prepare our hearts, and to make us ready, and to turn us to Jesus Christ, the one who can give us victory, the one who can give us peace. One other thing that Amaziah's father did was lose some battles. And so, just like any other king would do, Amaziah's next task was to count up his people. And he had 300,000. And that sounds like a lot. It's many more than we have today, here. But when you compare it to when David counted the people, he had 500,000 in Judah alone. And I think maybe 800,000 in Israel. It just brings to mind what is happening in these nations. They have turned away from God by and large. There are some bright moments, but their kings are starting to go after gods of the nations around them. They are permitting sin by allowing them to make sacrifices to other gods and participating in them themselves. And their nation is going down the tubes. Their armies are dwindling. This is not the vision of the children of God that were triumphantly coming into the promised land. They're becoming weak because what they allowed into their homes. Because God let them have what they wanted. And it's a sobering thought. And as Amaziah assesses his situation, he wants to go and fight the Edomites to the south. He realizes he doesn't have enough. And it's a wise thing to prepare for the battle. But he goes to Israel, he hires 100,000 men of valor, and then God says to him, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. There was a place that Judah was to occupy. There were constraints that God had given them that they were to abide by. And God is reminding Amaziah of that, that they would operate within those constraints. And if they wouldn't, they can go, sure. Make yourself as strong as you want. Get yourself psyched up. Get yourself as much self-confidence that you can really do this. But God shall make thee fall before the enemy. For God hath power to help and to cast down. And this is a warning that God is presenting to Amaziah. Don't trust in yourself and don't trust in the soldiers from Israel. because God is not with them. So now who is he going to believe? His generals that say that he needs more people? Or God that says, you can do without that. And if you don't, you'll fail. And what about the 100 talents that he had given for those men to fight? What about that money that he had spent? The investment that he made? All the things that he's going to lose. If he's going to follow God, he's going to lose these things. And we remember, we know, the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. And we can't see Amaziah's heart. We can't know everything. It seems that he had turned and he did make that separation that was required. He followed in obedience. But then we see him following after other gods after the victory comes. And so you wonder, did he follow God because he was going to get something out of it? Or did he follow God from a heart of love and trust? And only God knows. And only God knows that for us. But the same challenge and controversy exists for us. Do I see some benefit to life? And so I stick around and I try to play the part. No. No, God's called us to faith and loving trust in him. That we would give ourselves fully to him. That we would love one another also with that same heart. Not for what we're going to get, but how we can serve. Because God has already given us something greater. We don't need it more. We have Jesus Christ. We have God's greatest blessing. He could give nothing greater. Now, my perspective of worth and value needs to be adjusted to God's so that I could see him, so I could see my Savior bleeding and dying on the cross for me and wonder at his love and mercy. That will make me a fit servant in his kingdom, ready to serve out of love and trust, ready to give because he has invested and poured so much for my sake. Let's give thanks to God. Let's be encouraged by this promise of God that's been fulfilled in Jesus Christ, that we don't need to look outside these walls. We don't need to look out in the future. We possess and have the greatest blessing that God can give. It's for us to receive by faith. Thank the Lord for his unspeakable gift. Thank the Lord that he grants us that comfort when our physical eyes do not see or our physical experiences seem to be contrary. He can provide that peace. He can speak to our hearts and assure us that the Lord has so much greater things in store for them that love him. Anyway, the king separated himself. He won a victory. And then so quickly, he seems to leave God behind and serve other gods. And someone came to him, a man of the Lord, and asks him a very good question. This is a logical question. Why did you seek after gods of people who could not deliver their own people out of your hand? Why do you go seeking after gods that are weak? You know, it's just like the heart of man. When God's servant came to the king had questions. What am I going to do about the money? And God had an answer for him. And now God has a question for the king. And he doesn't want to hear it. Can you imagine the boldness and the pride of the heart of man that's expressed here? I want to ask my questions. I want to question and debate. But when God comes and asks me, is there anything else that you can give up? I don't want to hear it. I'll tell him, are you the king's counselor now? Art thou made the king's counsel, he says? Forbear. You know, who made you my instructor, the king says? You just go ahead and stop. Why shouldest thou be smitten? He's threatening him. And then he goes and looks for better counselors. Somebody who's going to say something a little bit nicer, a little bit more palatable. And they send a letter to the king of Israel, and he antagonizes him. He says, I want to see you in the face. I want to see you face to face, man to man. I want to fight you. This is what he's saying. And the king of Israel, who had a bigger army before and probably has a bigger army now, just sends him a little story about the trees and a wild beast, and says, you know what, you better just stay at home. You don't know what you're dealing with. And I think as I was reading this and we were reading together, just thinking of the boldness of this king, I was reminded of Samson. He didn't know what he was dealing with. He thought he could back out at any time. And no worries, no problem. But in verse 20 it says, but Amaziah would not hear. Comes a time when people can't hear. And what made it so difficult to hear? Success is among one of the things. Success and self-confidence put him in a bad position spiritually. Put him in a bad position physically. He would not hear. Those are the sort of things that people pursue and we want. Be successful. Be confident in yourself. But it can blind us. So we have to be on guard. Always remember to thank God for any blessing that we receive. To always be mindful of how we came to where we are. That God has provided abundantly. And we have no one else to thank but Him. So the king goes, and he loses miserably. And because he would not listen to the king of Israel, the king of Israel brought him back home. He put him back in Jerusalem. And he tore down his wall so he'd have something to keep him busy. But it showed the torn down walls of faith and protection that God had intended for the children of Judah by serving him only. It was just an outward manifestation of what had happened in their heart as a nation. And all of the things that he had got from Edom, all of the gold and the silver and the vessels that were found in the house of God, where they would have stored the things that they had taken, and the hostages also, he took them and returned to Samaria, empty-handed. You know, if we seek after the things of this world, we will leave this earth empty-handed. But we heard this evening that the Lord is able to give thee much more than this, much more than what this world could ever offer. Thanks be to God. Let's take that as our encouragement and find in Him our joy And in him, as the song says, where could more content be given than Lord Jesus Christ in thee, who deserves all the thanks and the praise now and forevermore. Amen.
The world truly does have much to offer us. And it's the great lie of the devil that the things that this world has to offer us are greater than what Christ has to offer unto us. The devil will lie to us and tell us that it's better to impress a friend by the way we live, better to impress a friend that will probably leave us one day anyway, than it is to serve Jesus. It's better to follow the entertainment of this world, to model our lives after a celebrity than it is after Jesus. The devil will lie to us and tell us those things. And there are many, for those of you who are unconverted in this place, there are many who are praying for you, who are praying that you would come to the realization that Jesus has much more to offer, even as we have heard this evening. Many are praying for you because they love you. But it is you that has to come to that realization yourself. Prayers have their place, and the Lord answers prayers. And he answers prayers by calling those who do not yet know him. He is calling all of us daily to a life of service, self-sacrifice with him. And those of us who have accepted that call, we have seen that the Lord has much more to offer. And thanks be to God that we have seen that. But we have to see that for ourselves. Any advice that we are given is good, but we have to do something with it for ourselves. In Psalm 34, it's a well-known verse. Verse 8 says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." We have to, for ourselves, taste, try, and see that the Lord is good for ourselves. When we come to that realization that he has more to offer than anything, then we have life and peace and joy, and nothing in this world can harm us. Nothing in this world can draw us away from him. Nothing can take away our peace that we have in him. No temptation can overcome us if we are in him. But we must see that for ourselves. As our prayer as a church for all of you who are unconverted and for all those who are unconverted all over the world, that you would taste and see that the Lord has much more to offer than anything that you are truly living for. May God bless his word in our hearts this evening. Amen.